Greetings, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank the Lord for another day that we are able to stand together in His grace. And only when we stand in the place prepared for us can we truly be made alive. And anywhere else we stand, we will be swallowed up with words of death, words that have no life. We will be found in bodies of death, walking in the flesh, being absent and being away from the presence of God. As Paul did say, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" For in this body, he also said, he becomes absent and away from his presence. But blessed be the word of God, who brings near his presence. It brings us so close that we can touch His Word, we can handle His Word, we can enjoy the Word of life that changes every situation. It changes every mood, every vibration. We thank the Lord for the Word that is able to do these things. Many times we are found walking in our own words, our words that have no effect. The words of man, the words of flesh, have no profit, cannot edify us, cannot build us up, cannot unite us together. But the word of the Lord is our lamp. It guides our feet. And many times we fail to put on Christ, to put on this light that is able to guide us. Instead of putting on Christ, we put on our own clothing, our own garments, our own words. We speak without grace. We speak words of spirits and of death. And this body of death, it has all these capabilities of speaking forth things that trap us, speaking forth an anointing that binds us instead of making us free. Like the anointing of Christ. So many times we are found walking in a grave. For this body is like a grave. It's a body of death. It's a clothing. It's a grave clothing. As one who dies, they put a grave clothing upon him. And they hide them in the tomb because of the smell. Many times we are smelling the smell of death. We give off a scent of death instead of giving off a scent of life. And the scent we give off, it's so crucial, so important for the surrounding. Because it's so hard and difficult to be surrounded by someone who smells very badly, smells of filth and corruption. And the natural as it is in the spiritual. We feel it in the natural, and we also feel the impact of it spiritually. When someone has a scent of death around him, when someone is in fear, and doubt, and troubles, and confusion, we sense these things when we are surrounded by these attributes. And many times we are affected by them. And our own selves, our own flesh, our own enemy is walking against us, walking against the Spirit, pleasing the things of the world. And whenever we are found walking in this body of death, it is as we are celebrating death, not celebrating life. And whenever we are in this grave, walking according to our flesh, we begin to draw so far away from our true self that is seated in heavenly places. Let us read Isaiah chapter 38, verse 18. It says, "For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pits cannot hope for thy truth. That's true. Many times we go down into the pits and we cannot celebrate life. We cannot praise life. We cannot praise the Lord, for He is life. And we lose our hope. We lose the hope of His calling, the hope of glory. We will no longer be able to even look up. We will have our heads cast down, our countenance fallen. And so it was with King Hezekiah. He was the one who spoke these words in the book of Isaiah. Hezekiah cried unto the Lord with tears to save him from the pit of corruption. Hezekiah was speaking and he said, "The grave cannot praise thee," because Hezekiah felt the grave. He felt the body of death. He felt that he was being swallowed up. How can he celebrate life? He was crying. Hezekiah was in an atmosphere filled with depression, for he knew that the time of death was drawing so near. And he said, "How can anyone praise thee in the grave?" And so his cry reached the ear of the Lord, and the Lord remembered him. And we continue reading in Isaiah 38 from verse 4 and 5. It says, "Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus says the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto the days, unto your days, 15 years. Amen." As soon as Hezekiah heard these words from the lips of Isaiah the prophet, when he heard God tell him that he had seen his tears, that is when Hezekiah's atmosphere began to shift. Hope was renewed in him again, and he was able to praise the Lord, not because he got 15 more years added, but because the Lord had spoken a word to him, and that word was able to change his atmosphere. The Lord who made the eye had seen the true repentance. The Lord who made our eye was able to see the tears of Hezekiah. And he told Hezekiah by the mouth of Isaiah, he said, "I have seen your tears." Imagine Hezekiah hearing these words. The atmosphere upon hearing the word of the Lord. What a wonderful atmosphere that must have been for him. One word from our Lord is able to change everything. Every little breadcrumb that falls under his table is able to renew us. As it was with that woman from Sidon that said to Jesus, "Even the dogs eat of the breadcrumbs that fall under the master's table." That woman was crying like a dog under his table, waiting for breadcrumbs to fall. And when we cry out unto the Lord with this true heart, with a sincere heart, with a humbled heart, He will hear our cry. He will see our tears. And so will He transform these tears into a psalm. He will give us a poem of life. He will give us a mouth to sing forth praises. That's exactly what happened in the life of Hezekiah. When the Lord heard his cry, He sent him His word through His prophet. And upon receiving the word of life, the atmosphere in the king's room had changed. Amen. King Hezekiah began to write a poem. Yes, he wrote a psalm which was mentioned in Isaiah chapter 38. And in this psalm which he wrote, he was able to proclaim that all this great bitterness which he had felt before was actually for his own good. We see that in Isaiah chapter 38 from verse 17. And I like the TPT version, the Passion Translation here. It says, "Truly, It was for my own good that I had this bitter experience. For you loved my soul and took it out from the pit of corruption. You casted all my sins behind your back. Amen. Hezekiah was able to speak this psalm only when there came a change of atmosphere around him. He was given the eyes to see that all things were actually working for his own good. He said, it was for my own good that I had this bitter experience. And when the atmosphere changed from him, he could finally look up towards heaven. For before that, before the atmosphere was shifted, he could not look up. We see it. He says it in verse 14. He said, I did mourn as a dove. My eyes failed with looking upward. O Lord, I am depressed. Come and be my strength. Amen. Praise the Lord who heard him, who transformed the atmosphere, who filled his mouth with praise, who took away his depression, and who lifted up his eyes to look up. This same Hezekiah, who couldn't lift his eyes nor praise the Lord, was now found singing and praising him. And we see the newness of his life, which he received. He wrote it in his poem, which was written in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 19 and 20. He said, the living shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hezekiah spoke these words in his poem because he was filled with songs. He was filled with praise. And all his days he was found singing in the house of the Lord. But before the Lord changed that atmosphere, he was filled with tears. But blessed be the name of the Lord who heard his tears. His tears were not in vain. These tears brought a change of atmosphere onto his life because they were true tears of repentance. Look at the tears of King David, as he also wrote in his psalm. His words echo the words of King Hezekiah when he asked, in the grave, who can praise you? The same words that Hezekiah uttered, we see it in the Psalm of David in chapter 6 from verse 5. It says, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? And in verse 6 it says, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed because of grief. He said, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. And in verse 9 it says, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Amen. Just as Hezekiah said that the grave cannot give him praise, so also did David say similar words when he said, who in the grave can give him thanks? They were both found near the grave, in the body of death, in the atmosphere of death. And they uttered the same words. Who can praise you in such an atmosphere? And they cried in that state. They cried in their condition, a true tears of repentance. And they were both heard. Their prayers were received. The Lord saw the tears of King Hezekiah, and he heard the tears of King David. His tears had a voice which was heard by the Most High. Just as the blood has a voice, the blood speaks, and so do our tears. The voice of our tears quickly are able to enter into the ears of God. I love what is written in the TVT version of Psalms chapter 38, verse 9. It says this: Lord, you know all my desires and deepest longings. My tears are as liquid words, and you can read all of them. Amen. He can read all the words that flow from our eyes. This psalm is saying they are as liquid words that are being read by you, O Lord. Look at Psalms chapter 56, verse 8. It says, you've kept track of all my weeping. You've stored all my tears in your bottle, and not one tear will be lost, for they are all recorded in your book of remembrance. Amen. In verse 10, it says, I trust in the Lord and I praise him. I trust in the word of God and I praise him. Amen. What a wonderful psalm written for us to keep in our hearts. To know that our tears are stored in a spiritual bottle that only God can hear and see and read. When we truly cry out unto him with a broken and a contrite spirit, he will change the tide of battle. He will change the atmosphere of whatever we are battling. And in verse 9 of chapter 56 in the book of Psalms, it says, the very moment that I called unto you, the tide of battle turned, and my enemies fled away. This one thing I know, that God is on my side. Amen. The very moment that we call unto our Lord with a true heart, with a sincere heart, the tides will turn. The atmosphere will change. And we will be filled with praise. We will be able to truly give him praise from our lips. Because how can we ever show forth praise if he doesn't change the atmosphere? How can we do this if he doesn't touch our lips? In Psalms chapter 51 from verse 15, it says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. Amen. If he does not open our lips, we will not be able to praise him. Just as if he does not open our eyes, we cannot see the wonders of his word. Because everything has to come from his touch, from his touch of love. He has to touch our eyes. He has to touch our ears to give us a new ear. As Jesus touched the ear of Malchus, which Peter had cut off, the Lord renewed his ear. The Lord had to touch his ear. And so it is with us. We need the touch of the Lord in all our body members. We need him to touch our lips, as Isaiah was praying, O Lord, my lips are unclean. And the Lord sent him the fire that touched his lips. In order for Isaiah to truly praise the Lord, to speak forth his word, he needed the touch on his lips. Amen. And here we see in the psalm, it says, Lord, open my lips, and therefore my mouth can show your praises. For we know not how to praise, nor what to utter, nor how to pray. But his spirit is the one that is doing all these things for us. And when he opens our lips, the atmosphere in the room will then quickly change. The atmosphere will actually be filled with praise. And if he does not open our lips, it is better for us to keep silence and not speak. Because if we do speak with our own words, with our own minds, our own thoughts, then we will fill the room with a miserable condition. The atmosphere in the room will be without any grace. That is why Paul said, let your words be seasoned with grace, in order for the atmosphere to change. But if the Lord opens not our lips, then it is better to remain silent. If we don't remain silent, then the grave will begin to speak. Hell will open its mouth and consume us. We will be in such a miserable atmospheric condition. Truly, when the presence of the Lord is upon us, that is the only time we are able to show forth His praise and speak words of life. But when His presence is not around us, we are like them who go to the grave, not being able to praise Him. And we become absent from God when we are walking in these bodies of death. For no man in the flesh can please God. And when God is not pleased, His presence is not felt. Only grief will be felt. For if His spirit is grieved, we will feel this grief. If He is not pleased, we will not be pleased. If He is pleased, then that is when we will surely feel the pleasures of God forevermore. So it's so true that whenever we are walking in the flesh, we will lose the ability and the strength to give Him praise. And we see that in Elijah, who couldn't praise Him. When he ran away into a cave to hide from Jezebel, he was filled with anxiety because Jezebel gave him a message, words of death. And when Elijah heard these words, his atmosphere changed. He began to walk in an atmosphere of death and not of life. And he went to hide in a cave, which symbolized his grave. And as he was hiding in this grave, under a wrong atmosphere, which did not belong to him, he wanted to die. And he could no longer be found celebrating life. He could no longer praise the Lord in that cave. He was in such a miserable condition, all because Jezebel had spoken with her tongue words of death. And we see that in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 2. It says, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not the life as the life of one of them tomorrow about this time." She wanted to destroy the life of Elijah. And what did Elijah do when he heard these words? In verse 4, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and he requested that he might die. And he said, "Lord, it is enough. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Oh my, look at the words that Elijah spoke. Words of death, words of misery, words of shame. He said, upon hearing the words of Jezebel, that death was better for him to live. Death ruled over the mind of Elijah, and fear was set in. Even guilt began to crowd his mind, for he said, "I'm no better than my fathers." He saw himself in such a fallen condition. He saw himself so worthless in that moment of time. And he said, "It is enough. Take away my life." Elijah identified with the words of Jezebel, with words of death, and all his atmosphere was changed into an atmosphere of death. Quite the opposite of what King Hezekiah was saying when he was also in the atmosphere of death. Hezekiah was found saying he wanted more years to his life. But Elijah was found saying that he wanted to die. And now in this miserable condition of Elijah, how could he truly praise the Lord? For in the grave, who can praise Him? In verse 9, we read that he came onto a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What are you doing here, Elijah? Amen. The Lord had brought forth his word to find Elijah, who was hiding in that cave, in that grave. The Lord had a lost precious sheep who went far away from his true self. And that sheep was Elijah. That sheep went and hid in that cave. But that sheep did not belong there. He belonged in the green pastures of the word of the Lord. And that is why the word found him. The Lord went and looked for his sheep. And it told him, What are you doing here, Elijah? Amen. The Lord, his shepherd, came to take him out from that cave. And he did come out. He was lifted from his presence upon hearing the still small voice. When he heard the voice of the Lord, he was able to be lifted up. All his atmosphere was changed at that very moment. In the twinkling of an eye, he was able to see life. And he truly felt alive. At the very moment that the Lord gave him his sweet, still, small voice, Elijah was truly made alive again. Amen. The voice of the divine salutation from the word of God, which entered into the bones of Elijah, revived the very life of Elijah. And Elijah came back to himself. Look at the power that words can have. They have a great effect upon the atmosphere. When Elijah heard the words of death from Jezebel, his whole atmosphere was changed. But when he heard this, the words of the Lord, he was able to be restored back to his true self. As the book of Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21 tells us, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Many times, we get swallowed up with our own words of death. We eat the fruit of death by what we speak, and our lips have the power to dramatically change the atmosphere. We begin to fill the air with pollution, and then we begin to create such a polluted and chaotic atmosphere that makes it so difficult for us to breathe in. So let us always be mindful of this and be in prayer for the Lord to open our lips and speak words of grace, to fill the atmosphere with grace, to fill the atmosphere with praise. And when he opens our lips, words of life will surely flow from within us. And so shall we be satisfied with such an atmosphere that is created. For that is when we will be found seated in heavenly places. Yes, we can either create an atmosphere of death or one of life. For they are both in the power of the tongue. Amen. We will end here for today and continue more tomorrow by the grace of God. The Lord bless you, my brothers and sisters.